Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King.
Worship you this day.
admiration for you, my Lord, my God and King. Your excellence, my inspiration, your words of grace have made my spirit sing. You love what's right and hate all evil, therefore your God sets you on high and on your head pours oil of gladness while fragrance fills your royal palace.
Thank you. God is indeed worthy of our highest praise. Welcome to Reflections tonight, and we're going to look at a book I found, Piper, on prayer, and just want to discuss it with you and hope you find it and make it a part of your library. But I thought what was so interesting tonight, we had corporate prayer tonight, and God has just been really showing up. And our bishop has taken us to another level in prayer and worship and power, and literally watching God stir up the gifts that's in the body of Christ, stirring and challenging each one of us to stir up those gifts and to present those gifts to the body of Christ, because each one of us has a gift that can be used for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of another believer. But we have to stir those gifts up, and we have to present them. And we only learn by doing. And I thank God for his life, that he's given us the opportunity to learn, to make mistakes, and to grow. And I thought what was so interesting tonight, the last couple of days, had just been hearing the Lord say, take with you words, bring with you words. When we come into his presence, that we should come with words, not just come empty-handed, but to come with words. And if we are people of the word, studying the word of God and giving ourselves to hide the word of God in our heart, when we go to him, we can give him words. We can have a dialogue with him because we've studied the word, and we can even do as we've seen in the times past in terms of Nehemiah, in terms of Abraham, in terms of David, and the prophets, how they would go back and they would take the words that David spoke and they would give God back those words in the form of praise and worship. And God is wanting us to come with words, to make our request known to him, to let him know we appreciate who he is, but to bring words with us, because we can't say we pray and we just sit there and mumble. We usually get tied up into that thing that it's a silent prayer request. But sometimes we have to bring with us words so we can speak them out of our mouths and let the Lord know exactly what our needs are and get those words out, because words are powerful. Words form and create. We are still learning to pray the promises, and what we're doing is pray the promises over our family, pray it over our nation, pray it over our leaders. And then as we pray the promises of God, we stand back and allow God to bring his word to pass. It's not our words, but it's his words being brought to pass as we take the time and we study his word. As we look at prayer, prayer begins with God. That's what he starts off with. And he says prayer, you know, begins with God. And then we'll look at some other chapters of developing the motivation for prayer, the glory of God and his sovereign plan. In the next couple of chapters, I'll just read those to you. Building faith in the promises by meditation on God's faithfulness. The next chapter is praising God for who he is and what he has done. Then we go on, still in chapter 1, praying with Christ at the center, recognizing the supremacy of Christ in everything. And then the second chapter, it starts off with the fuel of intercession, God's promises. And in that one, it's promises for help with prayer, promises to answer prayer, promises to those who trust God, promises on the grand purposes of redemption, promises of God's intention to save us, promises of forgiveness, promises of God's intention to save the nations, promises of God's love for his people, promises to the church, promises regarding shepherds, promises regarding the teaching of God's word, promises on the power of God's word, promises to send revival, promises of the Holy Spirit's powerful ministry. So as we begin to go through this, and we're going to spend a couple of Friday nights and Saturday nights on these on this manual, and encourage you to pick it up and study it for yourself. Couple of other things we will be looking at is promises on the amazing rewards of redemption, promises that God will make us his possession, promises that God will be with us, promises that God will draw near. And what I want us to see is that those promises are to be prayed back to God, and developing the motivation for prayer, as he said, the glory of God and his sovereign power. God says he will give his glory, he will not give his glory to another. And so as we see that, he gives us another one. He says, your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. They shall declare my glory among the nations, and they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord. That's in Isaiah 66, 19 through 20. And Ezekiel 20, 44 says, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one. Zechariah 14:9. This was according to the eternal purpose that he was, or he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Psalm 98:1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. We look at Isaiah 46, verse 10 through 11. My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Lamentations 2:17. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word, which he commanded long ago. John 3:27. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. John 19, verse 11. Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it has been given you from above. Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing, glorifying the word of the Lord. As many as were appointed, as many. As many. As many as God had appointed, he designated them to become the sons of God. So therefore, we are going to take these promises. We have a few more minutes of live broadcast, but we're going to take these promises and we're going to go through them one by one, and really get it down in terms of what we are to pray to God, how we are to pray to God, how we are to take the promises and pray back those promises, because God has given us these promises to not only build our faith, but building faith in the promises by meditation on God's faithfulness And it's as we meditate on his faithfulness, what he's already done, it solidifies, it gives us strength, it gives us courage to stand and believe him for the greater works that he has promised to do. We will go through this line upon line, and we will so break it down to where this will become a part of us. We will hide this word in our heart, these promises, and we will take these promises and we will pray them back to the Lord. One part he was saying, praising God for who he is what he has done. And we see in Exodus 15:11 goes on and he says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Deuteronomy 10:14, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. So we take these words and we begin to give them back to the Lord and extol upon him and praise him and worship him for who he is, and just begin to fill our hearts and our mouth with the word of God. Let's look at another one, Deuteronomy 10:17-18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Deuteronomy 11:12, consider the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. When we begin to look at this, we can renew our mind by seeing who he is and what he has already done. Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. These are awesome promises that we can literally hide in our heart. And when we're going through a dark season or a dark valley, we can take and pull these out and remind ourselves who God is. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. That's Deuteronomy 32:4. We need to get this in our heart. Deuteronomy 32:39 states, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. 1 Kings 8:27. We go on to see, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? That's Solomon speaking. 2 Samuel 24:14. Our time is running out for the live broadcast. I thank you so much. We will read this and we will go to a song and we'll come back and finish the recording. 2 Samuel 24:14. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but let me not fall into the hand of man. That's a promise you should take a hold of. That's a promise that you should take and say, Lord, make this a reality in my life. I do not want to fall into the hands of man ever. I want to fall in your hands. This is another selection, and we will be right back to close out our program tonight.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Indeed, we do thank the Lord. We thank him so much for all that he's doing. We are continuing looking at the promises of God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 says, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. And what we're trying to establish is that when we go before God, we must go before him with words. We must take with us words. And as Isaiah said, let's reason together. And the only way that we can reason together is that you talk and then who you are engaging to talk talks, and it becomes a dialogue, so that when you are able to fully engage, you will both come away with a feeling of satisfaction. Let's look at Job 11:6. For he is manifold in understanding. Know then that God exacts of you less than your guilt deserves. Job 26:14. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how shall a whisper do we hear him? But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Psalm 33:10-11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Psalms 93:1-2 and verse 5. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 96:6. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Psalm 103:19. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment. Psalm 104:1-2. Our God is in heaven. He does all that he pleases. Psalm 115:3. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. That's Psalm 116:5. This morning in our morning prayer session and for the past couple of days, I found myself that all I was asking God was praying and interceding and asking God to have mercy, mercy on the nation, mercy on loved ones, mercy on those who don't know him, mercy on the backslider. Because in judgment, God also tends to give and grant mercy. So as we're praying and interceding for the nations and crying out that God would stay the hand of the wicked, that God would just have mercy. It came to the point that all the brother could do when he was praying and asking the Lord was that God would just have mercy. And what it reminded me of is when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. He said the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before him, and they were extremely wicked. And so God told Jonah to go and preach. And so as Jonah was reluctantly the one to go and preach, the king called a fast. And as the king, just as we're saying, to take words with you, the king heard the word of the judgment that was to come. And the mercy of God stepped in because the king decreed and sent a decree that not a human and not an animal should eat for 3 days. he got the word, and as he got the word, he sent it out through his providence and to all of his people, and he told them that they were going to stay the hand of God. And that's exactly what they did, is they humbled themselves with fasting and with prayer and sackcloth and repented. God stayed his hand of judgment. And I believe with all my heart, your prayer is not insignificant. Your spending time with God is not insignificant. Every moment that you're spending with him, you are adding to your heavenly account. You're paying it forward. Your dividends are paying it forward. And God takes note of it, just like he took note of Cornelius spending time and taking care of the needs of the synagogue. And so as to spending God's presence, and as you are pleading for mercy on behalf of maybe a loved one, maybe a neighbor, maybe an old friend that you don't want them to die and go to hell. And as you're praying and you're crying out to God and you're saying, not on my watch, you're taking words with you. And as you're praying and asking God to intervene in the lives of those loved ones, those friends and coworkers, God is literally setting them up, because he said, first of all, no man could come to him except the Spirit of God draws them. And so as you're taking and you're interceding and you're taking these words and you're telling God who he is and what he can do, and you're pleading on behalf, God is hearing your prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up, because as you, like that king, hear God's word and turn and make the effort to do what you've heard the word say do, perhaps God will have mercy. In judgment, God will have that mercy, that he will abort the thing that he said that he would do, just like he did for Nineveh. Let's continue to look at this, because I want us to get these words into our heart so that as we are spending time in God's presence, as we're thinking of what to say to him and to tell him how much we love him, we will have words that will be befitting a king. Let's look at Psalm 116:5, and he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. So that's what I want you to hold on to, is remember God is merciful. Then Psalm 119 verse 68 says, you are good and do good. Psalm 139, 2 through 3 says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Psalm 139, 2 through 3. Psalm 145, 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 145:3. It is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Psalm 159. Great is our God and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Psalm 147:5. Also, when you're discussing with your friends and you're talking about the goodness of God, we only have a few moments and we'll come back tomorrow and complete this, but you will have something to discuss with that friend of yours to let them know that God is a mighty God. Take with you words. Take with you words and intercede with God's own words. He watches over his word to perform it. Let's get excited about this, because we are learning something. Take back.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because he is worthy of praise.